You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage. We seek to help you relate well so you can live well in all aspects of your life.
Welcome to the show that will change your life for the rest of your life. This is Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks, and I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and this is a show that's going to help you connect. It's going to help you communicate better with everyone around you, because ultimately, we become a better spouse, we become a better person, we become a better employee or employer, and basically, we become a better human being by relating well. And we become the one that God intended us to be all along, great communicators with one another. And this is also why Relate Well was created by Dr. Rick Marks. He has a true passion to continually help others become the best version of themselves when relating to each other. And also known as Dr. Rick, welcome to the show. Dr. Rick, how are you doing?
Wonderful today.
Wonderful. I like that word, wonderful.
Just got back from a week of doing a marriage retreat up in north central Wisconsin at Christian camp called Fort Wilderness. It is a beautiful place.
It's not like Fort Wilderness Disney.
Oh, no, no.
They're very different.
Matter of fact, Fort Wilderness Disney would like to get the legal rights to that name because they own it. They've been around since the 1950s.
Okay.
It was a Christian camp, and they do year-round Christian camping, family camps, and they can do winter camps. So if you're into—
Ooh, sounds cold.
Yeah, like 20 below zero.
For me, kind that of sounds like misery, but I'm sure it's fun for some
but
people.
It's Alaskans. A marvelous time where we had about 30 couples. It maxes out, and I work with them Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
How fun.
It's a beautiful place. I mean, it's in the Northwoods. And the people that work there, Christians, but just kind and gracious. And it's always a joy for me to go up there. It's relaxing.
I bet. Yeah, it sounds amazing. And did Luella join you on that venture?
No. Her work is such that she can't get a lot of weekends off.
Okay.
You know, Saturday. So most of my work on weekends when I travel is me. But she's always there in spirit and in prayer. So.
Wonderful.
But it's a marvelous time. So I come back refreshed from that.
Wow. Well, good to know. Well, maybe I'll join you on the next one. I'll grab Luella and
come on.
We'll go on up. We'll grab Chewy since you love the dogs.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll be on the stage and do a question and answer. You can kind of guide it. That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be fun. Oh, good. Okay. Well, speaking of fun, let's dive into the first segment, which I always love to do. It's listener questions.
Right.
And so everyone knows out there, these are questions that are you have never heard before. You have no idea what's coming, and it's completely blind.
Yes.
So we get organic, off-the-cuff answers from you, which I think everyone appreciates.
I've actually had some people mention to me, wow, you don't know those? I said, no, I don't. And they go, you come up with some pretty good answers. I said, well, I had someone from Wisconsin who knows me very well go, Rick, you're excellent when it's like off the cuff.
Yeah.
Because I get questions and I speak a lot, right? People ask me a question, and I just answer it right off the cuff. So.
I like it. All right. Well, let's dive right in. Lori from San Antonio, Texas says, Dr. Rick, I keep reading that most marital arguments cannot be resolved because you can't change another's values or personality. So if this is true, then how can we ever actually move forward?
Interesting. So we'll tie this into John Gottman's research. Gottman is like one of the leading researchers on what makes marriage strong and healthy. And his research also indicates that 68% of problems in a marriage cannot be solved. 68% of problems in marriages are unsolvable. And so what are unsolvable problems? One, she alludes to a difference in the values, difference in thinking, difference in culture, differences in expectations about life, right? There's a lot of differences. What his research does show, and what he calls masterful couples, is that unhealthy couples try to push right or wrong or try to push agreement. In unsolvable problems, there's not going to be agreement. But what he points out in what he calls masterful couples are, masterful couples don't let unsolvable problems destroy us. They would rather have the relationship than force agreement. So they just continue to negotiate around those things, or they agree to disagree. But they'd rather have the relationship than try and force something or win an argument. I one of those unsolvable problems in my marriage is dog. I want one really bad, and Luella does not want one really bad, right? It's one of the and we just negotiate around it, you know? And so would I want to force getting a dog at the expense of the relationship? Not really. You see? And so, you know, we always come to terms with how you want to deal with those things individually. But it really comes down to, would you rather want to force agreement or would you rather have a relationship?
But what if it's a more serious argument or disagreement that you can't resolve? So it's not a dog and just a animal situation.
Then you've got to have
more, character or, you know, something that's very serious.
I know. Character issues be a little bit different. If you, you know, we're going to solve your poor character, your drinking problem, your drug problem, mm-hmm. your pornography mm-hmm. problem. Those are things that can be that need to be solved. And if you don't want to solve those, that's fine. But those things directly harm our relationship in another person.
Okay, so those do need to be solved.
Those things need to be solved, yeah.
Okay.
Unsolved problems are, you know, dog issues. Whether you believe I should be having, my hair should be gray or brown. I mean, things like that. I hate to say it, but okay. But also cultural issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wonderful daughter-in-law is from Egypt, all right? She has a different philosophy about things, and that's just how she's going to be. But it's different than my son's. What they have done is not allowed those differences in philosophy, in culture, to harm the relationship. They've always negotiated around those things because, like my son said, either you accept me as I am, I'll accept you as you are. Where we're different, we'll accept the differences, but we're going to love each other no matter what.
Yeah, because those things are important, I think. It brings people
right.
together. Cultural
Very
differences.
Much so.
Any difference. I love having differences. That's what makes interesting relationships and seeing somebody else's perspective. It's interesting.
Yeah, and you think about it. God loves differences so much that not one person has the same fingerprint, do they?
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Even at that biological level, we're all different in no matter
so
what.
So different. Yeah. We think differently, and we are complete different souls.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Well, so let's move on to Ali in Miami, Florida. Ali says, I don't completely trust my fiance because she's friendly to everyone. And I think that will open the door for someone to take her from me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel insecure about that, but it's how we met. She was friendly from the get-go, and I feel like that allowed for us to make a connection. Two questions for you. Do I tell her I'm insecure, which doesn't appear to be confident on my part? And do I tell her I trust her even though I don't? Two questions. The two-part question.
First part is, yes, you tell her. The fact that you can be that vulnerable and open makes you adorable.
Oh,
it makes you endearing. Because true intimacy doesn't come by living a lie. Or living as if you're not, true intimacy comes through vulnerability and openness.
Taking off that mask.
Exactly
to show
right.
Exactly who you are.
Exactly right. The hardest thing I had a daughter to do early in my marriage, because I learned not to share anything. Grew up in a broken home where you weren't valued, where you weren't, nobody cared about how you thought or felt. I just learned to shut down. Plus, if you did, you might get shot with a cow prod, right? So I just learned early on, don't share. But I also realized that's holding me back from really being connecting to the world in deeper ways. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I can start saying to her, I'm afraid, or I feel judged right now. That was a risk for me, but she listened and cared. And she began to know the real me. So I would say, yes, take it, Ali. I want to say healthy men become vulnerable.
And that's hard, I think. That's hard for anyone, though.
It's hard for the male ego.
Yeah.
Right? It's hard for the male ego. But if our self-esteem is high, we can regulate the ego. You understand that?
Yes.
All right. So,
okay.
So our ego might say, the ego says, I got to have that Lamborghini. The self-esteem says, but actually, I don't necessarily need it because I'm okay if I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
Ego says, I got to look like that guy over there and I got to work hard to have this body like that so I can be lovable and loved. Self-esteem says, actually, I'm lovable and loved no matter what I look like.
And you think it makes the man or the woman feel look more adorable as your words were,
mm-hmm.
Because you're more vulnerable. But I'll play the flip side. Does that make you appear less confident, like Ali was saying, or needy, less than?
All right. So no,
I guess
no. What will make you needy or less than is how you express the need. All right.
Okay,
so if your self-esteem is low, then your ego is going to do things to get its needs met at the expense of others. So my ego is I got to have you so I become manipulative or I become controlling or I sulk and whine, which is what I used to do in my emotionally childish days, right, way back when, or I threaten you, that's a weak ego, right? Self-esteem says, okay, I'm not feeling that I can trust you, but I still know that I'm lovable. And I'm just stating who I am. That's healthy, mature, because now you're not going to do things to try and take from another person or control another person or manipulate them. That's unhealthy.
But when you say you don't trust someone, isn't that everything? I mean, I know in my past relationship, I wasn't trusting of him. And then I know when he, you know, I feel as though when I say that, then he was saying, well, then what are we in this for? If you don't trust me,
I have a fundamental.
I'm saying I'm just being honest.
I have a fundamental. And whenever someone, for him to sit, for Ali to say, I'm not sure I trust you based on what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Trustworthy people are not bothered when their trustworthiness is being questioned because they're trustworthy.
Right. Nothing to hide.
People who are not, who are bothered by that, should actually let you know there's something wrong then. You see,
so if
Ali was to say, you know, I get afraid and I see this and sometimes I think you don't want me or I'm not good enough. And I know it sounds crazy, but that's what my head says. And it makes me not want to trust you. And if she's healthy and mature and that's nothing going on, she goes, well, I had no idea I was sending you that message. Would you forgive me? I'd never want to send that message. Now, does she have to change what she's doing? She can say, no, actually, you know, I know you're kind of insecure. And they can have a conversation around it that you help them feel secure. That's the power of vulnerability and healthy communication.
But do you think actions need to follow through with Ali? I mean, I'm thinking if his fiance, if Ali says, I don't know what her name is, but fiance, I'm not trusting the situation. I'm feeling a little bit insecure and overwhelmed with things that happen and maybe how you behave with other people. So it makes me feel less than in this relationship. And then let's say fiance probably, I would think, needs to not only hear what he's saying, but also
care
enough to make those changes that make him feel secure and check in with him.
As
Does
long
this make you
as,
feel more secure?
As long as he's not doing it to control her. So that she can't be her.
It doesn't sound like it, but it does sound like he maybe has.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right.
So I always think, you know, what you're saying is exactly right, because you would do that out of love, right?
Right. I would.
Yeah.
That would be
love
me.
Love would cause you to do that.
Uh-huh.
The other side of it is if it's a very insecurity where there's not a strong, healthy self-esteem behind it, then the ego could start to go, well, I saw you talking to so-and-so. What were you doing that for? Remember, I told you I was insecure. You shouldn't talk to people. I'm insecure. I told you that. Now it's going to come across as controlling and manipulative.
Yes.
That'd be the warning sign.
Got it. Okay. Well, it's interesting. We just had this question with Ali and his fiance. We are going to be talking about some marriage counseling benefits coming up after the break. So you're going to want to stay tuned because we've got some good marriage counseling information from Dr. Rick coming up after the break.
To have and to hold from this day forward. Your wedding day was the biggest commitment of your life. Relationships change over time, needs go unmet, communication breaks down, and half of all marriages end in divorce. If till death do us part has become a challenge, then it's time to reconcile and reconnect. In his 1 to 3 day marriage intensives, Dr. Rick Marks coaches couples in distress back to their love and hope for a future together. Dr. Rick's intensives is not traditional therapy. Marriage intensives give couples the skills for communication, problem solving, emotional regulation, as well as the skills for healthy bonding and much more. Intensives empower couples to create the marriage they desire with Dr. Rick's Relate Well principles and tools, keeping couples out of the divorce graveyard.
I realized many years ago with the team that I work with that if we can teach people those skills for bonding and reattachment and communication and problem solving and emotional regulation and much more, it gives you the hope again, which can lead to the goodness and the love and the feelings and the intimacy so that you win. Your usness, your marriage wins, and your kids win.
87% of the couples who participated in Dr. Rick's marriage intensives reconnected their love for each other and remained married.
you want to take the opportunity, you have the will to do it, you want to do it, and you want to save it, we'll show you how.
Intensives are cheaper than a divorce and much more meaningful. Save your marriage, reconnect your love, save a generation, and secure your future. For more information, visit drrickmarks.com or call 904-724-8683.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we just tackled a few really good questions.
Yeah.
We had a couple of questions that came in, one from Texas and one from South Florida. So those were interesting, and I love to hear the answers that you come up with. I think it's always helpful for everyone. But now let's move on over to some marriage counseling.
Okay.
And let's dive into what do you do when you disagree with the ones that you love?
Yeah, there's an organization out of Chattanooga run by Julie Bumgarner. She's a wonderful lady. And matter of fact, they dropped the divorce rate in the Chattanooga County area 29%.
Oh, how'd they do that?
By a community marriage initiative where they were actually doing active education around healthy marriage. And they actually helped drop the out-of-wedlock pregnancy rate as well over that time. So they were doing active work in the community through churches and agencies, businesses, teaching healthy relationship skills, healthy marriage, partnering with churches to increase their marriage work. And it was very successful. And her company, organization, nonprofit, is one of the leading community healthy marriage relationship family initiatives in the country. And so they put out an article here not too long ago, and I thought we got to talk about this because really it was a good article she wrote. What do you do when you disagree with ones you love? Because, you know, people end up in counseling because they start disagreeing with each other. And so I thought we'd start our talk around why marriage counseling, does marriage counseling, is it a benefit? Because there's a lot of questions out there about that. But, you know, I thought we'd launch, if you'd all right, with her article. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Julie is a tremendous worker and very tied to WinShape, which is the retreat center for Chick-fil-A, where they do a lot of, you know, marriage repair work as well up there with some organizations. So she talked about what do you do when you disagree with ones you love. I mean, think about it this way. When you have a relationship with anybody, I mean, Relate Well is about how to have a healthy relationship and even protect the relationship in the midst of conflict, right? That's the real key. How do you protect in us? And we say when you begin to live your life by the four protectors of relationship, you know, become a person of goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. And we believe in all things. That kind of way of living life as a way of being is a very powerful way to live life. And if I am, then no matter what, I protect the relationship. But a part of that is you got to know how – you got to have the skills to communicate. So you can solve problems with goodwill and respect, right?
Yes, and be able to change those with new skills.
Yeah, the ones that don't work with things that do work, right?
Exactly.
And,
yes,
and that's really what Relate Well does. It teaches uh-huh. you fundamental research-based skills that do work, right?
Yes.
And so, but she gave some tips that if you're not agreeing on something, right, here are some things to think on. And I thought these were pretty good, so I thought we'd start here, and then we'll talk about in the marriage counseling piece in a minute here. Number one, she points out that one of the things you can do to make your conversations more productive is look for things you do agree on. And that's a shift in focus, if you think about it. We're always talking about
at the positive.
Yeah, you know, we got a topic, you know, we're talking about a car, right? I don't agree with that car. You don't agree with that part of the car. Well, what do we do agree on? Well, we both agree that we like this, 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 and this, but we're focusing on what we don't like. Let's focus on what we do like.
That's a great way to look at it.
You
because
see?
I mean, you're always gonna. Everyone may agree you want the radio. Everyone may agree you want air conditioning. You may agree. So there's probably more positive than negative.
Exactly. And one of the things I do as a counselor is when I listen to a couple arguing about something, I'm listening to their differences, but I'm listening to what is similar. And I always say, you know, what I'm hearing is y'all are really struggling over this piece, this piece, this piece. Yes. But what I'm also hearing, which you're not talking about, is you both really do want a healthy relationship. You both really do care about each other. You both really do want to be good parents. You both are really looking for something to do different to create a difference. They go, yes.
And I was
wonderful.
I'm feeling like a bonding right there. I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Couples bond right in that moment, and it brings you back to the things you like about each other and the things you like about your relationship.
Yes.
A great way to look at it.
One of the things we do in one of our skills is we tell people if there's something bothering you, say what bothers you, but also ask what you want different. So rather than, you know, Luella, why do you always ignore me when I come home? Say, hey, I notice when I come home, you tend to not acknowledge me. What I prefer is give me a hug and a kiss and say hi. That's a lot more mature than complaining. And so one thing she points out is look for things you both do agree on, all right? Number two, kindness and respect goes a long way when trying to deal with difficult issues. That's why it's the fundamental to relate well is about being respectful and having goodwill. When you treat someone with goodwill, you're going to be kind and you're going to be respectful, you see. And so she points out that kindness, respect do a lot more in getting you where you want to go rather than being disrespectful and unkind to each other. And,
it lowers that blood pressure and it helps all the way around.
It does.
You're not harvesting that negative energy and focusing on the good things.
You're right. And you know, the other part of it is when I'm treated with goodwill and respect, I feel valued.
That's exactly right. You do.
And that's the key, is so that we can solve the, we can discuss the difficult topic. We're both valuing each other and us.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Another one she talked about is avoid imagining how you think the conversation is going to go. All right. Or how it hasn't passed.
That's a tough one, right? I mean, people run down the road way in advance. And
oh, they do.
You already anticipate what, I mean, how many conversations do I have with my girlfriends where, well, if I say this, he's going to say this. And I know that's what's going to happen. And if I mention this about our son, then blah, blah, blah. You've already conjured up the entire scenario for 3 hours. The 3 hour argument's already you've already had it in your head.
And then you find out if you actually went and did it, he goes, oh, okay.
Yeah. That's
right?
So true. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so because we play those things out in our head, what it does, it creates a fear. It creates an insecurity. Because I'm fearing something that may never happen.
Yeah.
I always tell people, don't live in the what is. Live in what is. But most people, fear robs you of the present. But it makes you focus on what might happen. And you'll be like, I tell people, I don't live in what if. I live in what is. You know, they're like, well, what if he doesn't agree? Well, we'll find out when we ask him. But I'm not going to go there yet because I don't know. You see? And so that's one of the pieces she talks about there. She also talks about, be prepared to really genuinely listen to a person's perspective and be caring about it. I always tell people you can listen and care for how something is for another individual, their perspective. Just don't ask me if I agree. We believe that honoring and caring our perspectives, person's perspective is, means I agree with you. It doesn't. You build a relationship by putting perspectives together. We say it this way, when two perspectives come together, that creates a relationship. But not agreement. You see, I may not agree with you, but I can still care how it is for you. I can honor and respect your perspective, which is also why we talked earlier, we have different perspectives about life through culture, and that's why a lot of problems are unsolvable. Our perspectives are just different.
Okay, I'll play devil's advocate
here. All right, go for it.
Do you feel respected? Let's say, for instance, you and I are married. We have a child. Mm-hmm. Our child, I think, needs to eat broccoli and chicken and brown rice for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You don't agree. We have an argument over that.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to my perspective. You mm-hmm. listen to my wants, my needs, my desires, my perspective on life and why she needs to eat healthy. And you don't also feed her that meal that I would like fed. I feel disrespected, no?
You may feel disrespected that I don't agree with you.
Right.
But what I can say is something like this. Are you saying that it's really important for you, for Sally, to have these kinds of foods?
So important.
All right. I can respect that.
Which it's not, by the way. I'm just saying hypothetical.
Yeah, and I would say something like, well, I can respect that. And you know what? On some level, I actually do agree with you on that. And if you want her to do that, that's great. What I would then say is, my perspective is, if she doesn't want to eat it, don't force it.
Okay.
Whatever. You see what I mean?
I like
we're just sharing our perspective, but we're not necessarily having to agree.
I like what you did there. I like you saying, I understand,
mm-hmm.
and on some level, I agree.
That, at some level.
That made me feel
valued.
Valued.
Appreciated.
My thoughts were valued by you, even though it may just be a little minor amount that you do agree. Maybe you think broccoli's good. I don't know, but not the rest of the plate.
It's the power of recognizing another person's perspective.
Yeah.
And at least honoring it.
I like that.
It's just honor their perspective. Well, I don't agree. It's all right. Can you at least honor it?
I like that tool. I think that's something worth noting.
There you go.
On some level, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Whatever argument it is, on some level, I agree with you. But on some level, I don't.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think another one she points out is if the conversation becomes heated, right, things start to blow up. What we teach in our work and what she's kind of indicating here in her article is that call a timeout, stop the action, protect the relationship from the conflict. We call it a timeout skill. And so and if things aren't going well, one person needs to call a timeout, not to ignore the problem or run away from it, to say, look, I don't think it's going good. Let's protect the relationship from the conflict. And whoever calls a timeout needs to say, look, give me about 30 minutes just to calm down, get things together. Let's come back later and talk about this. Mm-hmm. We would then say, use one of the communication skills and relate well to provide the structure you need. But protect the relationship. Don't let the energy continue to heat up, because escalation in conflict is a predictor for divorce.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't get out of it sometimes. When it goes too far, you can't go back.
And one of the last things she points out is don't use phrases like you always, you never, exaggerations. It just makes people mad.
That's so hard when you're in the middle of a heated argument. You never do this. You never clean up. You never take out the trash.
And they can think of three times that they did.
Yeah.
They can think of three times that they did, which invalidated your never.
On some level, I think maybe there's some day that you did, but on most levels, there's most days
you
didn't.
It feels like you never, but in reality, you have done some.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta be, communication has to be accurate to what is real.
Uh-huh.
All right? What is true?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, there's many things. And there's lots of things that you need to ask yourself, I think she was saying. There was, what is the goal? Sharing info.
Yes.
Am I trying to understand his or her perspective? And convincing them that you're wrong, that's not good.
Mm-mm.
You've got to see that. Do I have a valid point? Am I trying to just win right now?
Mm-hmm.
Winning is a big part of an argument.
If I always say that if one person wins, us can lose. It's when us wins that you both win. You see.
Mm-hmm.
And does that mean that I get everything I want? No. What it does mean is I because I value us more than getting what I want, then I will choose probably to give through humility to give up some things because I'd rather have the relationship.
Mm-hmm. And what about touch on getting loud? Because I was reading that in the article. Getting loud is not good for the relationship.
No, because once you start getting loud, that's called escalation. That's because one person's not feeling heard or getting their point across. So things will start to escalate. Or typically, escalation happens, and it's usually men. Men tend to withdraw in conflict. Women tend to pursue conflict. It's called pursuer-withdrawer pattern. So, you know, they may see him rubbing his eyes, looking away, whatever, you know, he'll sit down. But if you keep pursuing, he's going to get back in. And when he's back in, voices go up. The energy goes up. You've got to stop. You got to stop that escalation pattern. All right. And you do that by learning skills and tools that keep you both focused on each other and on the issue, so that the relationship can win. But once it starts heating up, we're going into the lower order brain, and the higher order brain is starting to get shut down.
All right. Well, talking about heating up, there's a nice restaurant that heats up some good food, Aladdin Grill. And there is a really cool date night that you have coming up on May 27th, Tuesday night, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Tell us about that.
Well, we were doing that, partnered with Aladdin Grill, one of our sponsors. And they did allow us to come in there and use their space. Anybody can come. If you're single, you know, bring a friend. Dating, bring your partner. Married, bring your spouse. And really, it's a place where you come, eat some great food. It is really good food. And if you like hummus, it's some of the best around, I promise you.
I love hummus.
It is some of the best around. And then I speak, you know, we'll meet people, we'll talk, we just kind of open up and share, and I do about a 15-20 minute talk on some aspect of healthy living, healthy relating, and we usually get done by 8:15 at the latest and go home.
Yeah, and just so you know, Aladdin Grill is in Jacksonville, Florida. So if you're traveling here from anywhere, make it on May 27th from 6:30.
Yeah.
It's May 27th, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and hopefully we'll see you there. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick.
Healthy, loving relationships are essential for a happy life. On Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks and co-host Angelia Savage, you'll learn the principles for healthy, mature relationships. They share personal journeys, biblical and clinical insights that will challenge and inspire you to create fulfilling relationships in every aspect of life. Sundays at 5 p.m. on 97.1 The Truth and ilovethetruth.com. When we relate well, we will live well. And to live well, we must relate well.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm Angelia Savage, your co-host, and we were tackling a few things earlier about disagreements in a romance, a marriage, a relationship of any sort, really, but we were trying to focus on marriage counseling itself. But speaking of, I don't know, romance, I really want to share an article that I read the other day, and it was interesting. There was a guy in Japan. It's Osaka, Japan, and it's a romance scam. And I don't know if anybody's read about this or heard about this online, but he's 39, and he pretended to pursue relationships with women. And there were over 35 women that he pursued through his business and, you know, coworkers that he had met through his job. They were victims from age 30s to 40s. And he actually pursued them with the intentions of leading them on that we were getting married.
Oh, and wow. He
told them his birth date, so that he would get gifts in return from these women. So the whole premise of this was to dupe these women to get gifts.
So he's dating 35 women, convincing them that they're the only one, and he is basically lying and deceiving them in order to get things from them. He must have lived a pretty good lifestyle then, huh?
Complete manipulation. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, you know, it just says something about the character. I'm glad that the women found out. How did all this break?
All of these women actually formed a victim's unit, basically. And they are going after him for illegal purposes that he duped them.
Like defrauding them.
That's exactly. So they are going after him full force, and they're going to prosecute this guy. And they're saying that this is going to be on the trend, possibly in the U.S. coming up soon. So I wanted to bring it to everybody's attention, because you never know. This guy was telling people one woman, his birthday was July. One woman, his birthday was November. So he had gifts coming in all year long.
Well, you know, it reminds me of the couples I've worked with where the guys had two or three girlfriends, women, you know, mistresses, where he's feeding them lines. I'm going to divorce my wife. I love you, so I'll put you some money up over here. I'll do this for you. It's the same thing in a marriage context.
Ooh.
You know, and of course, we know that
deeper
that's destructive.
Level, but that's, yeah.
And, you know, on some level, if you think of, take it out of the marriage context, if this woman is starting to invest her heart and her finances, I mean, her resources, thinking something, you know what? And he's defrauding her in a form. In a sense, I could see how the state could go after him for something like that. You know, it's almost like a way of defrauding someone.
Yeah, it's a complete scam.
Yeah.
Just like scamming anybody else, scamming a business, but you're scamming through romance.
And he's doing it through 35 women. They're uniting together. You know, that would show more of a conspiracy.
Right. So I hope he goes down.
Yeah. And that might be a warning shot across the bow. Navy guy. Like a warning shot against the bow. Anybody in the United States. Hey, if it's illegal there, what would happen if a bunch of women here got together, found that out with some guy, and they decided to go after him legally?
And I bet. I'm sure he's not the first, and I'm sure he won't be the last. So that's why I thought it would be great to bring it to everybody's attention. I look further into this story and always be on alert. You never know.
Yeah, it's almost like that the movie where the guy was, you know, pretending he was a doctor and an airline pilot.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, whatever it was. And so I think Colby was telling us the name of it there. What was it?
Because I saw
it's called Catch Me If You Can, and the movie is with he's in Titanic. What's his name?
DiCaprio. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great show, isn't it?
Thank you. See, Colby. And for our listeners, Colby's back there keeping us in line the whole time.
She's great. She keeps us in order.
Yeah. So
she
you
holds
tell
us together.
Whatever we don't know something, we just go to her.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's so many scam artists out there. You never know. But
yeah.
All right. Well, I just thought that would be a good tidbit of information for everybody to, you know, maybe delve into a little bit more. You never know. But
which would cause for marriage counseling if you were married and doing that,
and
right?
And that's exactly what we want to talk about.
There
we want
you
to talk about reasons for marriage counseling. You know, what are the benefits of marriage counseling? And I want to make sure we touch on marriage counseling, not therapy, because that's not what you do at Relate Well. It's not about therapy, and it's more about counseling and giving people tools in order to do better and be better.
Yeah. Now, what you just did in language created a distinction between therapy and counseling. Most people think they're actually the same. They're actually not. It'd be like two bell curves where they kind of intersect, but they're actually different, right? The midpoints are actually different. Therapy tends to be past-oriented. It's remedial. It takes a lot longer. Counseling is more short-term. It's more present-focused, those kinds of things, right? So in language, those are very different definitions, right? I'm trained as a therapist, but I like to do counseling and coaching.
Okay, therapy is really present to past, and then counseling is present to future.
It is. And therapy,
interesting.
Therapy by nature will spend a lot of time looking at your past, your childhood, deeper feelings, and process them quite a long time, those kind of things. All right? It's much more extensive internal work. Counseling is internal work. It has some of that element, but it's really more present focus. What do you need to learn to do different? That's why you things like vocational counseling, you don't hear vocational therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you need vocational therapy, then you're going to go see a therapist for something that's affecting your vocation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So counseling and therapy, by definition, are a little bit different. All right. Now, reasons for marriage counseling. And I think a good reason to talk about this. You hear a lot today that many people who go to divorce court end up in marriage counseling or marriage therapy. And the answer is that's true. Scott Stanley, many years ago at a conference, reported some data. 64% of people who go to marriage therapy will actually divorce. So there is some data to suggest if you go to marriage counseling / therapy, you're more likely to divorce. That's actually true. Now, part of that is because by the time it gets to a counselor, one person's really out and they don't really want to work. The other is, and this was indicated by Bill Doherty at the University of Minnesota, who's like a Sigmund Freud in the field. He coined a term, and this can make a lot of counselors mad at me right now, but he could get away with it. Go read the article. He coined a term, therapist-assisted marital suicide, that many therapists are pro-divorce, and they don't know how to solve couple conflicts because they're not trained in marriage therapy. They're trained in individual models of counseling. So what they do is they don't know what to do. They say, well, this is an impasse. It looks like you guys are just done. You should divorce. And the fact that therapists recommend divorce, well, that's a position of authority and power, telling people to divorce, and many of them go, oh, well, if the therapist says we should divorce, then I guess that's the only option.
Yeah, you're looking at them as they're the authority. They're a doctor. They're telling
people,
it's not going to work.
If you come to me, we're here to save something, not kill it. I don't counsel for divorce. I counsel to get out of it. Now, with that said, then, a lot of people have a bad feeling towards counseling. And a lot of times when people who are in high distress come to see me, they've had a lot of counselors. And in our intensives, we get people out of divorce court. And we do pretty good at it, you know? 87% who've been doing our intensives for the last 20 years who were in divorce court got out. And we're together a year later, all right? And it was better. Not where they need to be, but it wasn't where it was. You know, they were moving forward. And so I wanted to kind of talk about today is even though we know that sometimes people go and it doesn't work for them, you don't throw the whole thing out, right? You don't throw it all away because it does still work, right? It's a very particular way it works. But what are some reasons you need to go? One, when you find you've lost that loving feeling, you know? I like that song for whatever reason.
We need to play that at the top of the show.
We do. You lost that loving feeling. But when you start to grow apart over time,
uh-huh,
and you've lost that feeling and you sense, well, I don't feel connected to you, there's a good time to go, all right? A counselor can help you get unstuck and figure out what you need to do to get those feelings for each other back, all right? So you want to work and get those feelings apart. Because let's be honest, nobody wants to stay connected to someone that you don't feel close to, all right? If you don't feel an attraction for them, if you don't feel affection for them, all right? I'm in this thing. I like you. You're a good friend. But in reality is I'm committed because for whatever reason I'm committed, but I've lost the romance. I've lost that sense of connection. I've lost the us. We can show you how to get us back. All right.
So it's a good time. Who typically seeks your help and counseling? Is it the man or is it the woman?
Take a guess, Angelia.
Okay.
It's the woman.
All right. I figured it was, but yeah. I was just wondering maybe, you know, men are going, it's just not what I want and I want out and, I'm just satisfying her.
When a man calls typically, I'm not saying all the time, but typically from my experience all these years, is he has a walkaway wife. Okay. And when you get to walkaway wife syndrome,
it's over.
You're in trouble. We refer to that in other shows earlier, that at that point, the thing is pretty well done because you've done enough to convince her you don't care about her. And that's why you've grown apart, but you convince her, I don't want her. And she gets to that place where I'm done. It's usually over, you know?
So women are typically the ones saving the marriage here.
They really are because they're the ones that they're, I always tell men,
help.
They're the barometer for the healthy relationship. So when she's nagging, she's actually saying, we're not connecting. Hear it that way rather than focus on the nagging part of it. You see, another reason is money's still the number one reason for divorce. And if you're not able to solve problems, well, go get some help because it's not really about the money. It's your inability to communicate and solve problems about money, right? Because that's really what predicts. So you're arguing about money, go get some help. Of course, if there's adultery, I like to say this, adultery, it can be healed from. Michelle Wiener Davis even indicates that in her work and others. It takes a lot of work. It takes patience. It's probably a good 2 years worth of work. It can happen, all right? It does not mean it's a death knell to the relationship. Doesn't have to be, all right? Make sure you get help. I just texted a lady, or actually emailed a lady here a couple of days ago. I did a one-day intensive with them last year when I was in Wisconsin. He's a sex addict, committed adultery. Well, he's doing his recovery work, but his attitude is, look, I did that in the past. You need to get over it. He doesn't want her hurting. He doesn't want her feeling. That was the past. I've done it. I repented. I'm getting help. You need to stop. Well, I'm like, well, that's a part of your addiction, sir, because if you really cared, you're the one that created that pain in her anyways. You should be caring more that she's hurting than that she is hurting because you created that pain. You're the cause of that pain. She never would have had that feeling of rejection and betrayal and that she's not pretty enough had you not been doing what you've done. But he doesn't care about the pain he caused. He cares about how her pain is affecting him. In my hunch, if it stays that way, eventually she'll probably leave him.
Yeah,
that's my prediction.
She has to be heard. Yeah. She has to be respected.
So adultery, I asked her, I said, are you getting help? She emailed back, no. I go, go see a counselor. If you want to see me by Zoom, we'll do it by Zoom. But I told you all, you've got to continue the help on the relationship. If you got long-term unprotected, hurtful conflict, get some help. Don't keep fighting it, on your own. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, if you want some more information, you can actually get Dr. Rick's book titled Relationships for Life on Amazon.com or from drrickmarks.com as well. And you can learn the fundamentals for healthy and loving relationships. If you can't talk to him by Zoom, you can at least read the book, which will definitely help in all relationships. But right now, we've got to take a quick break. You're listening to Relate Well with Dr. Rick. We'll be back in a moment.
People are like chameleons. As we change, we must adapt to ensure healthy, balanced relationships. The hallmarks of a healthy relationship are goodwill, respect, humility, and empathy. Relate Well teaches these core skills and gives you practical applications for a healthy, loving, and caring relationship with each other. Whether you're single, dating, or married, talk by Dr. Rick Marks, licensed counselor, clinical fellow, and marriage and family therapist. The Relate Well Core Program features 9 online sessions, including an interactive PDF of the course manual. Millions of people look for the perfect match to share their life through improved and loving connections with the Relate Well Core Program. call or visit RelateWell.us.
Welcome back to Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks. I'm your co-host, Angelia Savage, and we have been tackling the benefits of counseling in the last segment, and I want to continue that because there are so many benefits to your counseling slash not therapy.
Right.
As we were talking about therapy versus counseling and what really the difference could be. And I love that you work in the present towards the future.
Yeah, create
because
something
that's
new.
So much more important. We can't change the past. It's already happened. Let's work on the present and what's next.
Yeah, and I would tweak it just a little bit. Okay, I would say you can't change the past behaviors that's happened. Mm-hmm. But the effects of the past are still in the present. So you have to deal with the effects of what happened.
Got it.
So that you can resolve that effect. So that, in other words, you know, someone runs me over, you know, a couple of times in a car. Well, what happened, but the effects of it's still with me.
Okay.
So I have to deal with the effects that's still with me in the present so I can deal with those effects so I can create what I want for tomorrow.
Got it. Okay. That makes total sense. All right.
Now, I want to finish up. One more thing. We were talking about reasons for marriage counseling. One, addictions, we're going to add in there as well. But I do need to say this before we move to all the benefits of counseling, marriage counseling. Do not do marriage counseling around domestic violence.
And why is that?
Domestic violence is contraindicated. I mean, marriage counseling is contraindicated for marriage, for domestic violence. Why? Research shows domestic violence increases the violence. Marriage counseling increases the domestic violence.
Ooh.
In other words,
why,
you know,
being discovered?
So we'll pick on Colby over there. Her and I are married. I beat her. I'm feeling bad about it really because I got caught. It's called the honeymoon period. I'm not really going to change, but she might leave me. So we come to see you as a counselor, and Colby's there talking about the things I do to her. Well, I'm sitting there smiling with you, acting like I'm really happy, really sad, but I'm ticked inside. So later on, I'll beat her later for telling you what you see.
And this is always, this is typical.
You don't do marriage counseling on domestic violence. It's individual counseling. They must go to do their anger work and all of that kind of stuff before you ever start working on a relationship. It increases violence because she's now telling a therapist things that he does and he's sitting there hearing it.
Calling him out in
front
of his face.
And if he's not getting help, he's going to be mad.
I don't know.
Which is why a lot of them will drop out of therapy because they're being pushed out of therapy by him and he's also hurting her more.
Oh.
So you don't do it. If there's domestic violence, go get your individual help.
Separately.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Got it. Okay. All right. Well, now let's go into the benefits, though. Let's talk about the benefits of counseling because there's so many benefits.
Yeah. Now, the first one for me always is when a person goes into counseling, on some level, you've lost that love and feeling, you know, my song. Mm-hmm. But when you lose that love and feeling, you lose a sense of usness, right? Us wins, you both win. Us lose, you both lose. Two to make an us. Counseling is there to help you get that us back, all right? And this is what I see a lot when people come to me who've had a lot of therapy in the past, and they come to what we do in our coaching model, and, you know, within like our intensives in particular, they start to feel connection. Can we teach them how to connect, how to bond? And when you'll see a moment, Angela, where they're like, they feel those feelings again. They haven't felt in years.
Spark comes back.
Yeah, and you'll see they might reach over and grab each other's hand. They haven't done that maybe in 2 or 3 years. And I'm watching this bond start to when now they felt close in a moment, then that feeling of connection gave them a feeling of hope as well. You see, you cannot have hope if you don't feel the connection.
And how long does that typically take?
It depends on the counselor and what they're doing. For us, we can create a shift in 3 days, typically.
Okay.
And
uh-huh.
We usually create the shift in a day and a half of the 3 days.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Our first goal is to deal with the emotional pieces that are unstuck, that are keeping you stuck, so we can get the usness back, right? Mm-hmm. Counseling can get you that, can reconnect you that sense of usness, right? And at the same time, secondly, the benefits of marriage counseling, you can heal your relational wounds. The way you've hurt each other and the way you treat each other. You know, I've felt disrespected. I have felt uncared for. I have felt betrayed because of what he or she did. I don't trust because of the way he or she is treating me or things they've done. You can start to heal those relational wounds, you see. And a good marriage counselor can help you while you're dealing with the relational piece, can also help you deal with your individual pieces, all right? The things you brought with you into the relationship. Now, if they're pervasive, go to get some individual counseling as well. But marriage counseling can help heal those relational wounds, all right? And a third benefit, which I, to me is one of the most important pieces, it'll give couples the skills and tools to communicate well and solve problems well, which we know are the predictors for distress and divorce 90% of the time. And, of course, Gottman's research shows that when the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we've done our show earlier on those, and people, they want, they can go back to the podcast and find it, the four horsemen. But when those four things show up, which are, you know, defensiveness, stonewalling, contempt, and criticism, when those things are in a relationship, 93% divorce risk, right, based on Gottman's research. However, if you learn to communicate well, where you're being respectful, where you're having goodwill, you're being caring because you're operating in humility, you'll protect the relationship, you learn how to communicate, and you're going to solve problems in a way that always protects us.
And create that spark again.
I love
that. In a day and a half, you can get that spark back. And I was reading some of the information in the article, and it was saying 75% or three quarters of people think that the counseling actually helps.
That's a lot.
That's a big number.
There is some research that suggests that people see that who really helped it found the value in it. That's why I tell people, yeah, you've had counseling before, you know, it didn't work. Don't throw it away. It may be you haven't found the person to help you or the process to help you. You know, keep searching. Don't throw the relationship away. Find the person who can help you. And if you have a therapist telling you you should divorce, then go find someone who goes, okay, where do you want to get? Let's help you get there then. You know, I tell people that by the time they get to me a lot of times with the intensives, you're in the emergency room. Well, an ER doctor doesn't really care what you think. Well, doctor, I think I have a bladder problem. Actually, you have a heart attack. No, I really think it's a bladder problem. No, it's a heart attack. Lay there and be quiet. We're working on you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a lot of say-so in the ER. It's an emergency.
Yeah.
I tell you, when you're in my intensive, it's my room, my ER. I'm going to get you unstuck and moving. Got it? I'll hear what you have to say. I'll care about what you have to say. But in the end, we got a process to do. We got to get this thing unstuck and moving and reconnect you. Why? We got a family to save. We got a relationship to save. We got love to save and salvage and restore and strengthen for tomorrow, you see, so that you don't need me tomorrow. You learn what to do and how to handle things well today in moment by moment in the future, right? Then and it becomes a habit. You don't need someone like me anymore. And that's the great thing. Mm-hmm. You're just communicating and listening and honoring each other in a much more different way.
Yeah. I think that therapy is probably like the ER doctor, that you go in for the emergency, they listen to what's going on, they give you the medication and send you on your way. But the difference with you at RelateWell is you're the person after that emergency that sees them all the way through the physical therapy, if you will, afterwards.
Yes. Well, you get them in the ER. If a regular traditional marriage therapy hasn't helped you, you're going to end up with us a lot of times in our intensives, right?
Right.
But the reason we created the online program was so that you could learn it in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Purchase it there. Watch it there. Learn the skills there so you never end up in our house, right?
Right.
So our prevention model is, hey, go to RelateWell.us, go to the core program, get the core program, learn it. Even if you're single, it's designed for anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Singles can learn it. And that way, my thoughts are, well, let's do prevention work and let's create the curriculum so it's a prevention model as well.
Yeah.
And you learn it all online.
Yeah.
So that you never end up in a counselor's office, you see?
Do the work yourself. I like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've unfortunately got to wrap up. I hate this because we've got so much more information, but we will carry on for next week and we will definitely touch on a little bit more of RelateWell and all that you have to offer. And if you would like to learn to lead a life through all four protectors in all of your relationships and learn how to develop the tools that create us in your marriage, us in your family, or even us in the workplace, then register for the online RelateWell Core Program. You can register for RelateWell as a single or couples and just register online today at RelateWell.us. And if you're looking for private relationship counseling or life coaching from Dr. Rick himself, then call 904-724-8683. That's 904-724-8683. And this has been another informative show from Relate Well with Dr. Rick Marks to help you live your best life. And remember, until next week, relate well to live well.
We want to invite you to visit relatewell.us. Whether you're single or a couple, come learn what a healthy relationship looks like and then put it into practice. For relationship counseling, contact Dr. Rick at relatewell.us.
Had plans shattered and broken.